I'm just making sure we have enough chairs.
Hello.
We have several panelists and a wonderful moderator who are going to walk us through this process. Our first panelist is John Sott, over here to my, I hate to say it, far left, but you're far right. Policy Platform Committee Chairman for the Republican Party of Rhode Island, which has got to be a cheerful challenge. And I have to confess, as former Executive Director of State Policy Network, I'm absolutely delighted to announce that it now has a free market think tank called the Ocean State and Table. So something we hope for in a very long time. And John is on the board of directors. He was the 2006 Republican candidate for Rhode Island's 1st Congressional District, i.e. Patrick Kennedy, who takes lifting cells and drives a car, and is widely rumored to be the 2008 candidate for U.S. Senate against Jack Reed. He is also the Rhode Island State Director for New Cambridge's American Solutions Movement, and we are very, very happy to have him here. We have Steve Greenwood back with us again. And we have Brian Wilson back with us again. So we have print and radio here, my little bookend. And we also have Ed Morrissey over here. Ed Morrissey's real name is Captain Ed. He is the father and grandfather living in the Twin Cities area of Minnesota. He claims he moved there from California because of the weather. Very interesting. He is also CLC's blogger of the year. He works with his wife, Marcia, also known as the first mate, and has bestowed nautical nicknames upon most of his relatives in pets, despite moving from a coastal state to a landlocked one, or so he seems to think. Captain M, don't need to worry about you, but anyway, Captain M started Captain's Quarters in October 2003, and thanks to the efforts of nationally syndicated radio show host, columnist, and honorary great guy, Hugh Hewitt, Captain's Quarters joined the Northern Alliance, a coalition of conservative bloggers in Minnesota who are regular listeners of Hugh's radio show. With Hugh's initiative and strong recommendation, the Northern Alliance began hosting its own live radio show. I saw Captain Ed doing it earlier. Bringing dynamic and intelligent conservative commentary to the Twin Cities, I would argue that is not mutually exclusive. It's the opposite, which is a pleonism because, of course, conservative commentary is always intelligent. As you can see, he may be more of the former than the latter. And for my next introduction of our moderator, I have to confess a very profound personal bias here when introducing Jason Wright, who will serve as moderator. He is the little brother I never had. He moved away from me recently, 2.5 hours away as a trainer, and he is one of my best and dear friends in the world, an incredibly dynamic and creative individual, and I'm very happy that I had to come to Reno to see him. Jason was formerly the Vice President of Frontier to Freedom when I was the Vice President of Policy there. In fact, he was the one who went out and found me. He is now the President of the Institute for Liberty, and I have stopped him there as an advisor. He is the author of three magnificent books, and I mean that quite sincerely. So pick up your pencil, and write these down. Jane's Miracle, The Christmas Jar, and his brand new, The Wednesday Letters. I try not to cry when I talk about Jason's book, so bear with me here. Christmas Jar is soon to be a movie, and I'm waiting to hear from Hollywood about it again, Jason. And trust me, you won't want to miss it. But Jason doesn't just write stories with his books. He starts traditions. Everyone in my family has a Christmas jar in their kitchen of their above. And we will, too, want to read the book. Jason is the author of numerous op-eds and strategy papers and has been published in over 50 newspapers and magazines in the U.S. He ran for Congress in 2000 in Utah, and he was 10 at the time, and has spoken to thousands at political, business, and public policy conferences and conventions. He is also the creator and editor of PoliticalDerby.com, which is a really cool horse race site for political candidates, and has a regular appearance on Fox and Friends on Friday morning, handicapping the Republican Democrat candidates. And with Chris Ingram from Forum of Communications, Jason is conducting a CLC strong poll here with us of conference attendees, including a presidential preference poll, a Republican, Democrat, and Libertarian candidates. He will be doing a book signing right after this. Am I correct, Jason?
Yes, ma'am.
In the exhibit hall, you're doing it before the cocktail hour. You're going to be doing it after the cocktail hour. But I hope you will all show up and get a great copy of the Wednesday letters. Jason?
Hello,
please, Sister Rashida. Thank you, Karen, for that.
Karen.
Excuse me. She likes to be called Karen, but only if you have a fair amount of drink. As Terry mentioned, I am here, of course, to Hoffman Books. Just found out that the Wednesday Letters is now in its fourth week in the New York Times bestseller list. Very excited. And Christmas Jars, as she said, is in pre-press right now for a motion picture. And that's all fine and good, and I will be signing books over here, and I hope that you'll come and bring your Amex black cards when we come in. And more importantly, though, we're here to talk about socialliberty.com. For those of you not familiar, we've been around for a couple of years, and I just want to introduce quickly my co-founder and partner in crime, Stephen Soundwriter, from the lab. Stephen and I have known each other since I used to whack him in the back of the head with my trombone in sixth grade. At socialliberty.com, we rank the candidates on the left and right, as I say, we've been doing this for a couple of years. And that gives us an opportunity to get on TV from time to time to talk about the horse race. And it's important to note that our rankings are not a predictor necessarily of who will win the election. They are a snapshot of where we think the candidates are on the track right now. I want to talk about the straw poll briefly. There have been a few little sort of rumors spring about the convention that Mitt Romney's people may have had some influence in stuffing the ballot box. In all seriousness, I just want to assure people that hasn't happened. We're keeping a very close tally, and we're matching the number of ballots against the number of registrants at the conference. And if that number doesn't add up at the end, we know we'll have trouble. But thus far, everything looks to be on pace, and everything is going swimmingly, and the ballots are secure in my room upstairs. I do want to give you a quick update on where we stand. We've been tallying about a third of the votes thus far. And we're up to do this, but we decided what to have. In first place, as of right now, John McCain. In second place, Larry Craig. And in third place, Ralph Nader. So, Scott Vader, Jamie, and Wilson, right? I will also tell you, as to it's a privilege to be here with these guys who are a heck of a lot smarter than I am. And so, we're going to turn the time over to them. I have some questions for the guys in the wall. How's luck to you? You want to start with your own statements, or you want me to get the question flying? Gentlemen?
You're the moderator.
All right. Questions, and I hope you will all line up for your questions as well. I suspect questions will move us through this most effectively. Anyone want to take this one? Will Jeb Bush ever run for president? And if he does, will he win?
All right, I guess my opening statement is that as the official New England representative here, I bring you official greetings from the land of lobsters and mobsters, where Rudy Giuliani will win at all costs because in Rhode Island, Italian trumps all ideology. So, will Jeb Bush ever win? Will he ever run? I think he'll run. I think there's no question in my mind of that.
When?
I think he has to wait. I think conservative probably 8 years. I think he's depending on who wins this time around. It has a lot to do with who wins. But I think there's a national. Can he ever win? I think there's a national kind of, we're reaching the tiring point of Clintons and Bushes in the White House. And I don't think his brother's term in office has done him many favors. I think there's a turning point in politics. I'm a football counselor from Providence, Rhode Island. I ran against a multi-millionaire with a trust fund as large as this room. And I think there's a saturation point coming in the country where people are sick and tired of being sick and tired. They want to return to what the founding fathers intended for the country, which was that the regular rank and file folks would have a say in the government. And I think we've gotten away from that, and we certainly got far away from that with George H.W. Bush, and then 8 years of Clinton, and then 8 years of Bush, and then possibly 8 years of Clinton, and then 8 more years of Bush. It's time to give the White House up to somebody else. So will he run? I believe he will. It's in his family DNA. Can he win? I don't think the political climate by then will allow.
Okay, well, I'll take it.
I would say that what you're talking about here is the American version of the War of the Roses. I mean, you're going to go 30 years, two families fighting it out over who's going to hold the power in this country. And I have to agree. I don't think he will probably try, but I have to say that especially if Hillary wins, there will be absolutely no mandate for another Bush presidency. I mean, I think the Republican Party is already tired of Bush's running the White House. And I think, you know, all due respect, I think that the Republican Party, if all they can produce at the end of a potential Hillary Clinton term in office is another Bush, then I think we have to look at ourselves as a party and say, why are there no other alternatives? And I think that producing a Jeb Bush nomination would be tantamount to giving the election back to the Democrats.
If Hillary is, I find it a rhetorical question as much that if Hillary Clinton wins the White House in the upcoming election, there won't be any republic to have President Ford.
Well, I just, Hillary is going to win. We better get used to it. And everyone is sick of Bush. I can't imagine. It's not going to happen. We're not going to have another Bush. I mean, and Hillary is going to win the election, so we all just ought to get used to it.
By show of hands, how many of you think Hillary Clinton will be the next president of the United States?
Hope springs eternal. But
no voting machines return to you.
Okay, next question then. And this is a nice little segue. Later tonight, tomorrow morning, Political Derby will unveil its latest rankings. A little bit of a shakeup. We will have Rudy first, Thompson, and second, and Romney at third. Somebody tell me why I'm wrong. Rudy, Thompson, Romney. Anybody want to tell me why we're wrong? Snapshot, remember, snapshot of today.
My friend in Rhode Island will definitely get something for this, but I think Rudy has national follow-up. I'm not so sure that it carries momentum through. You look at national polls, and they don't all apply to race. Look at Jimmy Carter, and I know that name to bring up, but Carter started the race with a 4% name recognition, and because he picked up Iowa and New Hampshire and started rolling. The ball kind of built up momentum and he became a president, despite the fact that he had no name recognition and no real plan. That can happen again for Romney. I think people underestimate him because of Romney's national poll numbers right now. He tends to be in third. And I think if you look at the aggregate who build up, given Iowa, New Hampshire, and to huge bank account, that could change the look of what ends up.
I don't think you're wrong. I'm just not sure that, as he was alluding to, that the national polling is entirely relevant here.
And we don't, just for the record, we don't base the rankings strictly on the national polling. There's money and there's
right.
State polls and staff, all sorts of stuff.
But I think you have to take a look I think Romney in third is a stretch. I think he's performing pretty well in Iowa. And not bad in New Hampshire. And I think even though the primary season is going to be very compressed, and therefore the importance of Iowa and New Hampshire are going to be less this year, I still have to say we're 3 months out from even seeing a caucus that's meaningful. And I know that you're trying to handicap this along the way, and that's what the purpose of the Political Derby is. But I'm not convinced that anybody's really pulled out to any sort of a lead here, and I think that this is it's very much the opposite of the Democratic nomination. I think you've got a lot of people here who are still in the soup, and you still could see somebody come out of the second tier and surprise, just depending on how well they're organized and if they can get a message through. I think Romney's money makes him maybe the strongest candidate going.
Someone else want to jump in, or can I go to the next? Because that's a good segue.
Yeah.
Well, I'll go to you then. He just said there's a chance maybe someone from the second tier moves up and challenges one of the big three. Who is that? Who has the best shot?
Ron Paul. No one really thinks he's going to win, but there's, you know, at least he's somebody who stands for something. You know, he's get a lot of people excited. The main thing is going to be to see whether this exciting grassroots internet effort behind him translates into any votes at all. I don't think it will translate into much, but I think Thompson's fading away. I mean, I saw him in Newport Beach in front of a bunch of Republican donors at the Balboa Bay Club. He came in and he said nothing. And he, in the debate, he just, I guess unless somebody sticks a script in front of him, he doesn't know what he's doing. So I think Thompson fades away.
How many of the four of you think John Paul would be that second-tier guy that could come up?
Not very far, but enough to make I'm hopeful, that's all.
What does that mean? A top three finish in Iowa?
That would be interesting. I don't think he could do it in Iowa. I used to live in Iowa. It's a very moralistic kind of place. So the Democrats tend to be Hillary Clinton Democrats. The Republicans that succeed tend to be religious right types. So I don't see him. He'd have a better shot in New Hampshire, I guess.
I think Ron Paul probably affects the overall dialogue because he'll hang in until the convention. I don't necessarily know if he jumps out of that second tier. If anybody has a shot, I think it's Mike Huckabee because of his strong Iowa stronghold numbers and the machine that he's got on the ground. He also has a very popular conservative.
What do you make of the money and the fact that he's having a real hard time raising it?
It's politics. I ran against Patrick Kennedy, remember? I had $1.9 million spent against me, and I spent, let's say, much less than that. I don't think that politics should be about the money, but the reality of it is, in order to ante up into this election, we're talking about $1 billion. We haven't talked yet, but I've always had a question list about Mike Bloomberg, because my belief is Bloomberg gets in. This is a guy who's going to write a check himself for $1 billion. So if you take $1 billion as a standard, and they're talking about more, we're talking about $3 billion will be spent between the finals. Well, should we all put our heads together here and come up with a better way to spend $3 billion?
Well, let's go to independent candidates. Who out there is a third-party independent candidate? Aside from Ron Paul, who some think could run as a third-party candidate, who has a shot to shake up the race? Not win necessarily, but shake up the race. Besides Bloomberg.
I think that, by and large, it's not so much that the individual doesn't exist. I don't think he does. We've heard about it by now. I think Bloomberg does jump in. It will be something for his accountant to settle up when it's all over. But the problem with the third party challenge is the same as the Republican Party is having right now, is that there's no one that's really grabbing the dialogue, no one's really grabbing the debate. I think Romney's in the best position to do that. I think Ron Paul could do it. Ron Paul, unfortunately, for all the great things, and I love the guy, more than a heartbeat, but he's popular numerous times with his. You know, he's so typical of the libertarian part of his soul, is that he's got an organization started with a box of hair. They have alienated more people in the media than for not returning phone calls, for not showing up. And I think, if I remember the email correctly, he's not here, but he's at a gun show meeting with 800 people in a small town south of Cleveland tonight. So it's that type of dynamic, I think, that when you look at the campaigns, I would venture to guess, you know, that no one is sufficiently well healed. That's always been the problem, I think, with the money candidates and so on. When you got somebody that had the cheese, like a Perot, shot himself in the foot because he's such a whack job. But the people who have the message, don't have the money to give to the organization to really make it happen. And that's really the sad part. And you can understand Ron Paul's frustration and incredibly poor performance in the debates. Imagine if you had the truth and you couldn't express it to anyone because they were too stupid to understand. I don't understand that the, specifically in relation to your question, in the context of all of that, my own calling around about way, I don't think that the, I don't think there's anybody out there who's heard about it.
I think the only one that we have heard about it would be Bloomberg, and that's if he decided to run. But we have to remember one thing, is that we don't really need to hear from the independent candidate until sometime next year. They don't have to run through a primary season. They don't have to be out there doing anything. But this is what it will take for an independent candidate to run. It's got to be somebody who's got immense personal wealth, who's got some sort of public persona that people already know, so that when he gets in the race, he's a known quantity. And it's going to have to be somebody who has probably been more or less apolitical, except maybe for a Bloomberg, who's been more or less centrist. And that's because that's what it's going to take to grab the attention of people who don't want to vote for a Republican or a Democrat in the next primary. And let's face it, if you're talking about a third party or independent run, that's your constituency. You're looking for the people who are disaffected by the current political process, and you're looking for the people who are saying, I've had it up to here with partisan politics, I've had it up to here with Democrats and Republicans, I'm going to vote for somebody who isn't either so that I can make my frustration known. And the only person who's going to get taken seriously is somebody who's got the money on their own to do it, because they will not get the benefit of a large donor base.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how likely that Mike Bloomberg runs for president?
I'd say it's a 6. I actually don't think it's terribly likely, but you know, things may change over the next 6 months. And again, we don't even need to hear from Mike Bloomberg until probably next summer. He doesn't even need to really worry about getting on state ballots. I think the cutoff is usually at the end of August or the beginning of September. And he certainly got the money to get on all 50 state ballots. So he can play with the media for the next, 6 to 8 months. And jump in at that point in time, right about the same time that both parties are holding their conventions. And it might be the best possible time for him to get in the race. Remember what Perot did. Perot was in the race early in the year 1992, dropped out, and then came back in September. And that he avoided all of the debates, all of the argumentation that had been going on for in that was about 4 months that he was out of the race that year. And he comes back in September, about 6 weeks or 8 weeks before the general election, and managed to get 19% of the vote.
How about you, 1 to 10?
I have no idea. I 5 or 6, I wouldn't care. I think he likes the attention, but I don't think he'll do it in the end.
I was just trying to total up here what the total percentage of the vote would be for the trans, fat, anti-slut constituency. I don't know if you have
3 or 10. Where do you come? So I'm going to gamble. 10. You heard it here first.
Wow. Okay. Write that down.
Follow it.
By show of hands, how many of you think Mike Bloomberg will run for president?
Wow. All right. I'm moving ahead on that. I'm not so certain that the party will accept it. I think you could still see another Republican come in, maybe a second tier name that you haven't heard before, but that has some clout within the party,
such as
Tom Coburn, Oklahoma. There's that movement by Dobson on the religious part to kind of draw some momentum. There are a number of people that are voting for Giuliani just simply because they believe he's got to win. And I think some folks in the social conservative movement are trying to dispel that myth so they bring away those folks. The other thing is, I just got an email, and I can pass it on to anybody that wants to. People are trying to bring up a movement to congratulate Al Gore on his new win with emails, mass emails. So if any of you want that, make sure you check me out at the party. I think more than 10.
Do you?
I do.
Is that another 10 out of 10?
No, I go with an 8 on that.
How about you guys, Gore?
I think so.
Do you?
Yeah.
I give it about a 6, too. Yeah, I think he's just enjoying life the way it is right now. I don't think he wants to necessarily get pulled into another race. He's going to have to run against Hillary Clinton, and I don't think he can beat her.
Okay. Yeah, but you're saying a 6, but you're still saying it doesn't 50-50.
I'd say it's a little bit better than 50-50, but if he does get in the race, I don't see him damaging Hillary to the point of being able to get the nomination.
But he's so fat and happy right now.
Don't underestimate the heat that Al Gore has with the
family. Good point. Well said. Let's talk about Newt for a minute. Many folks, I think, were perplexed that Newt Gingrich held this conference and with this build-up that went on for nearly 12 months, and said, look, if you can raise $30 million, I'll jump in this thing. And then about 7.7 seconds later, he said, no, I'm out. What happened, Dylan?
Well, I was down there for that conference, and the exact parameters were, if you can get me $30 million in pledges in 3 weeks, I'll consider running for the presidency. He didn't wait 3 weeks, but I mean, he never intended to run for the presidency. There isn't a Republican candidate who's raised $30 million in any quarter this year. There isn't $30 million on the table for him to collect in pledges. And I think that this was just basically an excuse for him to not be in the race this time, and I'll tell you why. Newt Gingrich is a man without a really solid constituency. I mean, he has the same problem that every other congressman has, is that he's got a constituency of about 650,000 people. And he's also got a lot of baggage that's hanging off of him, and some of it's legitimate, and some of it's just really more perception. But he's watching this American Solutions thing, and he's trying to build up a constituency across the nation using this American Solutions group, and it's a really fascinating mechanism. He wants to get people involved. He wants to bring people together to work on solutions, and then to form groups to implement those solutions. And if he can even claim a few good, nonpartisan solutions out of that, it's going to have a tremendous amount of momentum coming out of that. And he's going to build himself a constituency of millions of people. And I think his calculation is that Hillary Clinton is going to win. And like Stephen Greenhut said, that Hillary Clinton is going to win this election, and he wants to run for president, but in 2012 against Hillary Clinton, and not 2008 against the perception of his shortcomings.
I talked to someone who's already thinking about running for Congress, not in this election cycle, but in the next one during the Hillary Clinton backlash. So,
wow.
I really think someone like Newt Gingrich is not going to want to get into this. But and I'm not saying that I think Hillary's going to win because I want it to happen. It just seems likely. Can I ask you or others a question? That why do you think no money was raised for this Electoral College ballot measure in California? Don't you think if there was some excitement or some thought that there'd be a chance that Republicans could actually, it'd be a close race that Republicans might win if they get a proportion of California's electoral votes rather than the winner takes all? And yet the only donation was from Giuliani's PAC.
My understanding is that's not over yet, and that there are some wheels moving within wheels that I quite frankly am not going to discuss. I'm not trying to be cryptic. That's not my style.
You're doing a good job.
I'd be more than happy to just kind of lose this information that I was given, but didn't have some strings attached. But I think if you watch that situation out there, if you understand the game of chess, there are some lesser pieces that are being moved into place that will ultimately prove to be a lot more powerful than the ultimate outcome of that.
By November 30th, and that's when the signatures would have to be gathered.
Actually, a lot of cocktails in the future tonight. How about you? I can undo
For the second full disclosure, I think I'll mention that the introduction I give on the American Solutions program for an honest review. Let me pose a question to you. There's no inside knowledge here, because they don't talk about these things. But if you were starting the grassroots movement and you wanted to be on Fox News pretty constantly, one way to do that is to bring speculation out that you might run for the president of the United States. So you get on Fox News all the time. Now, if you wanted to, in the last weekend leading up to the major event of your organization, to really kick off your organization, it would also then be interesting to come out with something semi-outlandish, like raising $30 million in 3 months and all that. That puts you on a news cycle. Puts you on a news cycle a lot, where you constantly can put up AmericanSolutions.com, talk about American Solutions for Winning the Future.
I think that was a short news cycle, because it wasn't literally less than a day and a half before
that. But there was always speculation about the running for the president. So, as long as that speculation, that man from, let's say, March or April of toward the beginning of the year, right through until the solution set, that constantly gave him the clap. Now, if he were just running a nonprofit, he wouldn't necessarily have the access. I know he didn't gain it. He wouldn't necessarily have the constant access and the constant mention that he did. I think he's really strategy, to be honest with you, and I think that's what news brings to the table. He's an incredible strategist. Don't necessarily know whether he's electable in this spot, but he is a brilliant strategist, and I believe that was all part of a brilliant strategy to bring some public relations to the game for that solution.
Okay, one more question here, and then we'll move over to the Democrats for a minute. Who has the best online presence of all the candidates running on the right now? Who's utilizing the web most effectively? Anybody?
Go ahead, Jupiter.
This is your world, right?
Yeah. Who's got the best online presence? Well, if you're talking about enthusiasm, Ron Paul probably has the best online presence. I mean,
what's your measure for that? Is it just the online polls?
It's what you see in terms of response. I mean, he gets a big response from his. I guess you could say it's the per capita response or the per person response. There's a lot of enthusiasm. It may not be a wide constituency, but it's a deep constituency and it's an enthusiastic constituency. So I'd have to say that they're doing something right online to have these supporters constantly going, overloading these polls and that sort of thing. In terms of just management, I'd have to say, Romney's got a pretty decent online presence, and it shows, or at least it was showing in some of his fundraising numbers. Those have tailed off, of course, recently, along with everybody else's. Giuliani's got a good public relations presence, but I don't know that his online. I don't think that his online site is all that sticky. I think it's very underutilized in their campaign. I think they're going with a completely different media strategy, and they're not, and they're neglecting the online presence. I'd say probably among, in terms of how you would traditionally look at that, I'd probably have to give it to Romney.
Okay. Anyone else? Let's talk about Democrats. Let's talk about Hillary, and it's certainly most inevitable at this point that she's going to be a Democratic nominee. In our new rankings tomorrow, we are going to have Hillary in first, second, third, not very many. We did that about a year ago, and people said, oh, you're crazy to have her up so far. This is really going to be a horse race. And so we actually tied it up and moved Obama in the third, or Obama in the second, and Edwards in the third, Richardson in the fourth. And then she had a couple of really masterful ones that were, I think for the pessimists in us who think she's going to win this thing, we have to be surprised by how well she's done over the last couple of months, particularly with fundraising. And some of these national polls, the numbers are just mind-boggling given how high her negatives are. So, assuming that Hillary is the presumptive nominee at this point, what would it take to reverse that? What would it take for someone to beat Hillary Clinton? And who is that person?
Michael
Lindsay. All right, I'm going to make another ad here. That's right. Can I go to that? Go ahead.
Gore?
Really?
I think it's the only chance. I don't think anyone in that field right now, Peter.
Obama has no chance of winning the nomination.
I really don't believe so. I think a lot of the movement is based on the youth movement. And the reality of it is that in 2004, for the presidential election, a record number of people under the age of 25 registered to vote. And none of them came to the polls.
That's right.
So the whole Obama thing base is based on his youth movement. I don't think that comes out and ends up supporting him at all. So that leaves us with Hillary. The problem ultimately that people will have with Hillary, the final analysis is, when they walk into the booth, they're going to be making the ex-president of the United States in the first office. And they're going to be putting him in a position where he has a lot of time on hand. Problem.
Watch your children in their internships. Anyone else?
But I just want to mention that the LA Times had a front page story about how their polling shows the degree to which that really hardened anti-Hillary base that softened. So, you know, that shows had such high negatives, which was the one argument that would convince me that maybe there's some possibility that she won't win, but those seem to be going away. And so she's got it.
And else on that?
I think you were right the first time. Hillary first, Hillary second, Hillary third. I mean, I don't think anybody, I don't see anybody with national standing in the Democratic Party being able to jump in and beat the Hillary Clinton political machine. I mean, they have an organization that they have kept intact since Bill Clinton was running for president, and probably strengthened. And I think the big surprise this year was how well Barack Obama could organize just off the fly, but even that's starting to tail off now. And the last quarter numbers were very good for him. I think he was 20 million, but now Hillary's outraising him, which was not the case earlier. And she's got the staying power, she's got the strength, they've built a big political coalition. I mean, this is really, I mean, it's unprecedented in American history where you have, you know, the spouse of somebody who won two terms in the office is basically capitalizing on all that political strength and goodwill that her spouse built, and she's going to ride that all the way to the nomination.
Tell us who, well then, see if you can drop on this one. Who's Hillary's running mate? A lot of folks say that Obama is a natural fit for number two. I agree with that. I think that pestilence is history too much. What do you think?
I think it's not so bad. Tremendous machine, which would be an alternative. You know, down the road, after the 8 years when we are finally getting a completely a socialized country, you can just slide right in. I think he's a good idea, but I certainly don't see it going with anybody. Who else comes to mind? You know, her husband can't run as vice president. Not that it matters.
What about her low percentage?
You certainly cut another 4 years on getting to the socialist states of America.
Which was Bill Richardson is going to be. That's my
prediction. Yeah. Is that your thing?
Yeah. Absolutely.
You too? Yeah.
Five seats.
Yeah.
Six.
Yeah.
Same would be the first choice, actually. I think it's Richardson. There's been a lot of rumors actually that in New England that Jack Reed, Senator from Rhode Island, has been talked about in this scam. He's a very fine, strict Clinton loyalist. There's a rumor going around that I might run against him in 2008 that we're not making any announcements on anything. I think Reed went and if Hillary got a bit as a good way, I see himself as Secretary of Defense. But I think Richardson's the national.
I'd say Richardson too. Barack Obama doesn't get it for the reason that he's not going to bring anything to the ticket. She's going to have the African American vote. She got endorsed by John Lewis today, so I mean over Obama. So she's going to have that wrapped up. Illinois is going to be a Democratic state. So Obama really doesn't have a constituency to deliver. But I think Bill Richardson does. I think maybe Mark Warner does. Possibly in Virginia. I think they're going to look to the South, and they're going to look to somebody who's got some executive experience. And I think that's where they're going to go look for the people.
Mark Warner's going to run again, right? So that's...
Well, that's... Yeah, but he would jump out of it, yeah. He'd go into DC. Yeah.
I don't think Bill Richardson would be a choice. Okay. Obama?
Well, I agree.
All right, I want to jump back over to the Republicans for 1 minute because there's a question I missed because I had a censorship. I believe that Mitt Romney's on the ticket somewhere, at one or two. Am I right in that?
I don't think that. Well, he could be the nominee, but I think he would be a bad choice as the vice presidential nominee, not because he wouldn't be strong and articulate. We heard him today. I thought it was pretty good. But the way he spoke, I don't agree with him on a lot of things. But the Mormonism issue is a problem. I think it's a huge problem in the especially in the South, and I don't think he's actually addressed it in a way that, you know, Kennedy addressed. I don't know how you do address it, and I'm not criticizing Mormons. I'm just saying that that's an issue to a lot of voters. And so why would you put someone on who brought that as your vice presidential pick when you wouldn't need to have that issue dogged?
So it's not Romney who you have the number two spot, assuming the nominee was Rudy.
You know, frankly, I can't believe that the people that are even running for the Republican, I mean, Rudy Giuliani, I don't think
Rudy takes the number two spot if he doesn't win it.
No,
I think Fred Thompson takes the number two spot if he doesn't win it. And John McCain sure as heck doesn't take the number two spot if he doesn't win it. Michael Steele.
They're all in favor of the war, but Huckabee not only is a religious right guy, which he's a nanny stater. I mean, he wants to ban trans fats or something. Just what we need, another nanny state.
Well, a lot of weight.
Oh yeah.
Well, isn't that reason to elect a man for president?
Well, do you remember the Cruz Bustamante for lieutenant governor? The lieutenant governor who was running for secretary of state in California, they churned so much I forget what he was running for. But his whole campaign was on his weight loss. And anyway, so it has been done before.
And where's the champion?
Yes.
Yeah, come on.
I don't see Mitt Romney being a vice president. I mean, this is a guy who's made a couple $1 billion in the market. If he's not going to be on the top of the ticket, my guess is he's going to go back into the private sector. And I'd say you're looking for somebody, if it's Rudy, you're looking for somebody from the South. And maybe Huckabee, but I'd say you're looking for more of a...
Mark Center?
Yeah, possibly, or maybe somebody from the West, maybe Tim Pawlenty from Minnesota.
Who? Pawlenty, that's fine. Let's turn to some questions. We got about 10 minutes or so before we'll kick this off screen. Come on to the mic if you've got a question. One of our all stars up here. Anyone? Feeler?
Feel free to ask me questions about Patrick Kennedy, too. He's fighting to break down barriers for everybody, except the one who lost under
it. Oh, that was bad.
Sorry.
Yes, sir.
In current Hillary Clinton, this sent mystery to me how she and her husband survived in politics with all the baggage they have. This gave me three things that happened, and I'd be interested in actually everyone's opinion of this. 1994, Republican California convention, I started going to impeach Clinton thing at that point. This guy is in the party with the president. I told him, someone, you don't want to do that? I said, why? He said, oh, that will be so easy to beat in 96. We have to leave him in office, even though he's committed all these crimes. And we know what happened in 96. In 2000, I was involved with Newsmax and Mingo Mahoney, the New York Conservative Party, and they were down visiting, and they asked me, what do you think will happen with Blasio and Clinton? I said, well, it's real simple. If Blasio tells the truth about him, she's finished. If he doesn't tell the truth, he'll lose. Same thing happened in the last election. Her opponent never told the truth about her. So my question to all people is, why are the opponents of the Clintons always afraid to talk about all the bribery, the obvious criminality of them? Because if they do, they'll win. If they don't, they lose. So a huge mystery. Thank you.
Like, can I mention the word Vince Boston? I don't know. They're very vindictive. They play politics in a full contact manner. And you talked about also research. You know, we had a seminar on that yesterday. They have it up and down. I think it was Rudy Giuliani dropping out of the Senate race against her, and what was going on there. It's just, they have this thing. But talk about, you know, why they've gone to power that they have. Does anybody remember his convention speech when he was the governor of Arkansas? It was terrible. Now he's being hailed as a great communicator of the Democratic Party. Let's go back and look at that tape again. I remember. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, the bar is low.
Okay.
I think there are three things: ABC, CBS, NBC. Our three TV answers right there. When you've got two major broadcast networks, despite the fact that they've got failing audiences, they are still the 500-pound gorillas in the room. And when you've got major broadcast networks as your default PR firm, that helps, along with the vindictiveness. I wrote a little black book on Whitewater that started out with the Vince Foster murder, and it's when you get that close to the cesspool of stenches, it's pretty overpowering, and I suspect that that's probably one of the reasons why. Plus, after having gone all that, I would also suggest to you that if anyone who stands up and talks about Vince Foster being murdered, or the three kids on the railroad track in Arkansas, or anything having to do with Whitewater, or anything to do with missing and filling records and songs, immediately out there with Art Bell and George Norrie and tinfoil hats and UFOs and your anger, and you're easily dismissed. So,
all right.
We have to find a different place to get some children.
Thanks, guys. Let's run another question. Yes, sir.
In the general election next fall, in a race between Clinton and Richardson versus Romney and Mark Sanford, knowing that Romney are circulating petitions in Florida, which three states are not already decided in the general election contest?
Ooh.
Clinton Richardson.
Churchill.
I'll take out a silence of three.
Which three states are not in the bag?
Which three states are in play with those tickets?
You know, I'd have to say Ohio and Pennsylvania would probably be in play. And that's bad news for both parties. For both, you know, those are two states that neither party can really afford to lose.
You think Pennsylvania?
I think if Hillary's running, I think Pennsylvania's in play. And I think if you've got Romney, and who's the running mate again? Sanford. Yeah, I think that could be fun in Pennsylvania. I can't think of a third state. I mean, I think it would be an interesting race.
Delaware?
Or even maybe Iowa, possibly.
I'd go with Pennsylvania, I think, in that case.
See
who wins Pennsylvania, right?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Nice. I suppose we probably have a few agreements on this, but I was wondering if I could given that at Warren, in the general election, the poll numbers now, so much of the country is against the war in Iraq, do you think that a pro-war candidate would have a chance at winning the general election, pro-war Republican, or is it kind of, unfortunately, perhaps, decided that Hillary, of course,
was
probably
going to
win, no matter what.
Not to me.
Take it.
No, you know where I stand. I don't think so. I think the public's sick of the war. Yeah, that's what I figured.
I think they have a chance that they can articulate the war better than the current administration can. I think you have candidates out there who can articulate the reason why we need to make sure that Iraq stays stable. And that we still have to, or excuse me, gets to be stable, and gets to stability, and why we need to find a forward strategy against radical Islamist terrorists.
rather than wait for them to show up here to fight them. I'm willing to wait to see which candidate can do that the best. And I think that there is a potential for that, especially Hillary Clinton. Let's face it, Hillary Clinton's the Democratic nominee. She's got an interesting record on the war too. And I don't think anybody going up against Hillary Clinton in a general election, I don't think the war is really going to be the deciding factor.
Based on the premise that the public is state of war, and that the more against the war you are, the better your chances, and why is Hillary such a logical woman this thing? Because she's certainly not the most anti-war of the left.
Oh, yeah, and I never would argue for the most anti-war candidate. I mean, obviously, we know she voted for it, and she's got a lot of some of the neocons are I've been reading some things that they're starting to advise her and see her as a potentially supportive of their ideas on the war on terror. It's just that in a two-party system, we always have two horrifically flawed parties, and of course, all these years of Clintons and Bushes, it's just boggles the mind. But when one party is so bad, doing so poorly, and one candidate is so idiotic, you react by voting for the other party, even if it's highly imperfect and isn't a really good spokesperson for your point of view. So I won't vote for Hillary, but I won't vote for anyone who's in favor of the war or voted for me.
Speaking of, I believe, the only South Carolinian and the only Charlestonian in the room, and the only person who worked on Mark Sanford's campaign indirectly in 1994 and 2002, however, I am no longer in the Republican Party. I don't think you're looking at Sanford. I think he may be looking at seeking 2012, but not this year. I think I'd like your opinions on something else, though. I think you write about the South, but I think the person who's trying to get it is Lindsey Graham. What are your opinions of him? No, I think he's trying to get it. I think some people would be considering him, and I think it would be a horrible mistake if we get him out of the state.
Or vice versa. Yeah, you're looking to replace him is what you're telling me, right?
Please!
Well, what chance does mini-me have to be on the bottom of the ticket? Let's see. Not much. I think if the Republicans are...
That doesn't look rhetorical.
Yeah.
I really don't believe there's any chance.
You're just promoting the idea.
I'm trying to help my family.
What about the rumor that Sanford is endorsing Giuliani? Or has that happened and I missed it because of John Meyer?
No.
I've heard that's happening. No, I don't know. No, I heard it. No? All right. We got time, I think, for...
Maybe one really quick.
Or two, or three, super quick.
Or three, if they're incredibly fast.
Take them all at once.
Okay, I'll make mine quick. It looks as though, and not looks as though, we are going to have new leadership coming to the RNC. Looks like in March or whenever the nominee is picked. Who would you look out there as the leaders of the party that could actually fight this branding war that we have in the name of a Republican? And for that matter, would you Gingrich be that kind of person?
I'd like Tom Coburn, to be honest with you. It won't happen.
Wow.
But that's the guy. Yeah. That would be the most tremendous pick that the Republicans could make, which means that they won't do it.
That's a good question. Yes, sir.
I would like to just present a scenario in favor of Ron Paul, maybe flesh it out a little bit more. 70% of the people in this country are tired and sick of the war. You have the Jacksonian Republicans that were gung-ho in the beginning, now they're against it. Ron Paul is the only Republican candidate, he's totally against the establishment, that could outflank Hillary on the war, plus he's a medical doctor. In all the debates so far, he hasn't gotten a single question on health care. He's the only Republican candidate that can speak to health care against Hillary. Plus, Giuliani would have to fight Hillary in his own state. And it's not likely, or it's very likely, in fact, that he would lose New York to Hillary. The thing is that there are another surprising thing. I mean, Jack Kemp used to talk about the money issue, and he couldn't get any traction on it. He talked about it for a long time, had some of his stuff. Ron Paul gets big applause whenever he talks about the Federal Reserve, which is amazing. And you have this Main Street against Wall Street constituency in the Republican Party that I think is going to listen to what he says about inflation being a tax on the middle class and going to Wall Street.
Thank you, everyone. If I can call you.
Don't get your hopes up.
Yeah, very quickly, if Ron has any chance he better try to spend some of that bonded money he's got, because he's not going to get his message out on those stupid debates.
Okay, last question.
Point of history and question. Actually, in the past couple of sections, the history is doomed to repeat itself, unfortunately. The first female governor in the state of Texas, her husband was impeached and kicked him out. What was the other southern state where we had a woman become a governor, I don't recall, after her husband? It was somewhere in the South.
Well, Missouri.
Well, border.
Missouri was
Alabama.
Was it
Missouri? Oh, it was Alabama. That was the consensus.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Was there a part six now?
No, that was it.
Okay.
Point
for the
question.
Thank you. You're not doomed to repeat. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks to our four superstars up here. Appreciate it. Check out PublicBlue.com for the latest on the trade. And come over and meet me in the same room.